Good morning and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, Luke chapter 22, resuming our study in verse 35 today. Luke 22, 35, Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time we saw the Last Supper, we also heard Jesus warn Peter that before the night was over, he would deny him three times. And with that, we come to verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, when I sent you without purse and bag and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. And Jesus is talking about in the past, when he sent his men out to minister. Things were different then. In the past, it was only for a short period of time and really not very far away. But soon, they will be on their own and they will take the word of God to all the parts of the known world. And they will have to trust God to provide in that day, which is just fine. Because one way or another, whether through providence, people, or miracles, God provides whatever his people need. Verse 36, then said he unto them, but now, he that has a purse, let him take it, and likewise his bag, and he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now Jesus is saying, in the past, people were good to you, apostles, for my sake. But that's about to change, and it certainly did. After Jesus returned to heaven, they were often persecuted, hungry, thirsty, and without a decent place to sleep. And when Jesus said, take what you need, he was implying that they would no longer be popular like they had been in the past. And when he said, buy a sword, he was implying that it's going to be dangerous to be a true follower of Christ. 37, for I say unto you that this that is written, what is written, must yet be accomplished in me. Here's what is written. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have a fulfillment. It's talking about being crucified between two criminals. It's about to happen, and things are going to change drastically for the apostles. Verse 38, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And of course, Jesus was not saying, oh, it's enough. Yeah, that's great. Two swords, that's enough to fight off any sinners who may give us a hard time. He's not saying that. In fact, later on that night, he's going to rebuke Peter for cutting off a man's ear with a sword. And think about this, two swords among 12 apostles. That's not a whole lot of protection. But that is our Lord's point, really. He's saying, it's okay to have swords, but don't trust in them. And that's true for Christians today. Our weapons are not the weapons of the world. Our security is not the security that the world provides. Our wisdom is not the wisdom of the world. We should use what we have wisely, but we should trust in God, not in the things that he provides. 39, and he came out and went as he was accustomed to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. The Mount of Olives was a favorite spot for Jesus and his men when they were in the Jerusalem area. It was a park-like setting and a good place to pray, camp, and be alone with his apostles. That is where they are. 40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Temptation's going to come. There's no question about that. But the more we pray, the less effect temptation will have on us. And that's because strength is transferred to our souls when we spend time with God in prayer. 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. A stone's cast was about 50 or 60 feet. Verse 42, this is what Jesus prayed. Father, If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus' human will wasn't always the same as the Father's will. But his will was always submitted to the Father's will. He said, if there's any other way besides the cross that people can be saved from hell, would you please do it that way, Father? But then he said, if not, I submit to your will. He did go to the cross. Which means that if good works could save us, the Father would have called off the cross. If being religious could save us, if being a Muslim could save us, if going through the Jewish religious rituals could save us, if having more good works than bad works could save us, then the Father would have said, Son, we're calling off the cross because there's another way. But he didn't. The fact that Jesus died on the cross is all the proof we need to know that there is no salvation for anyone who attempts to get it by any means other than trusting what Jesus did for us there. 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Jesus was not excused from his sufferings, but he was strengthened to endure them. God sent an angel. And the angel God sent, he could have wiped out every guard who came to arrest Jesus with one swoop of his flaming sword, but instead, the Father used this angel to strengthen his son. God doesn't always allow us to take the easy way, but he always gives us the grace to handle anything he wants us to endure. Which is why there is never a legitimate reason for a Christian to complain. 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Stop there. The worse Jesus felt, the more he prayed. He would not let agony win, and he would not let it keep him from praying. And there's a lesson for us. We don't have to feel like praying in order to pray effectively. We don't have to feel good in order to pray effectively. We don't have to feel as if our prayers are being heard in order to pray effectively. We just need to pray. Pray by faith. God says he will listen, so he is listening. And the worse we feel, the harder we should pray. 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus is outside on the ground in the middle of the night during the cool time of the year, and yet he is sweating as if it is 12 o'clock noon, 90 and humid. He's under a lot of pressure. In fact, he is under so much pressure that his vessels break, causing his blood to mingle with his sweat. 45. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. The apostles, I believe, are spiritually exhausted. They listened to Jesus that night talk about his betrayal, his suffering, and his death. Physically exhausted as well as spiritually exhausted, and they're connected. There is a connection between our body, our soul, and our spirit, and when one area is tired, it is difficult for the other areas to function correctly. 46. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And this is their final warning. They better wake up, and they better start praying. If they pray, then they will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to respond correctly when our Lord is arrested. If they don't pray, they're going to fail God when the trouble starts. 47. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Now Judas used his position as one of the apostles to sin, and to lead others into sin. And of course he did it all for money. Judas worshipped the god of self, and that god destroyed him. Serving anyone or anything more than God will always lead to ruin. 48. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? In other words, are you here to sell me out, Judas? And Jesus is looking for a yes from Judas. He's looking for that because a yes puts Judas on the road to forgiveness. You see, Christ is trying to get Judas to admit his sin so that he can repent before it's too late. It's too late to stop the betrayal, but it's not too late for Judas to be forgiven. And that is what Christ wants. And the lesson for us is this. It's not important for us to get even with those who hurt us. It is important for them to confess and receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ. 49. When they who were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Well, again, it always makes me smile, although it probably shouldn't, but before Jesus could say no to the question, Peter cut the man's ear off. It doesn't pay to ask God for guidance if we don't submit to the word of God, to his guiding. 51. And Jesus answered and said, permit ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Just amazing, you know, with all the sufferings that Jesus knows he's about to endure, he still took the time to minister to others, even to this one who came to arrest him. Our problems do not give us the right to be self-centered, unkind, or to ignore the needs of others if we are capable of helping them. 52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders who were come to him, are you come out as against a thief with swords and clubs? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. They were treating Jesus as if he was a desperate criminal, a violent lawbreaker who could only be subdued through violence. He would not let that stand. Their behavior with their clubs and their swords and stuff, that behavior was misrepresenting our Lord's character, and he rebuked them for it. And that's the correct thing to do, obviously. It's the correct thing for us to do. If a Christian doesn't have their character or a good reputation, then they have nothing. Good character is worth fighting for, and a good reputation is worth defending. 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Peter followed Jesus, but he's afraid, so he follows at a distance. 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the court and were seated together, Peter sat down among them. Peter is often criticized for his actions here. People sometimes criticize him for running away with the other apostles when Christ was arrested. People then criticize him for following Christ from afar. I've heard people criticize Peter for staying in the courtyard of the high priest while Jesus is being interrogated. And I've heard people criticize Peter for warming himself with the unbelievers as if that were wrong. And that's just foolishness. There's no virtue in being cold as opposed to warming yourself by a fire. He was not sinning by doing that. You know, it is so easy for some Christians to sit back in their little ivory tower and criticize other Christians who are out there in the real world at least trying to do something for Jesus. Sit back and nitpick. Maybe if they got busy doing something themselves, they wouldn't have time to criticize others. But I'll tell you this, if we're going to criticize someone, it should be because they have committed sin, and not because of insignificant things which are neither moral nor immoral. Peter is doing his best in his weakness. And that's all any of us can do. But at least he's out there trying. 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." Peter followed Jesus. Not perfectly, but he did follow him. And now he is being confronted because of it. If we follow Jesus, then we will receive some form of opposition from those who do not. If we follow Jesus, our faith will be tested in some ways. And Peter's is about to be tested right here. "I know you. You belong to Jesus." 57. And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And now we can criticize Peter. He just told a lie, and that is sin. And he just denied that he knew Jesus. That is a sin. Peter wanted to be accepted by the world more than he wanted to be faithful to Jesus at this particular point, and that is why he sinned. He tried to have it both ways. He tried to be faithful to Christ by following him, but he wanted to be accepted by the world, so he denied him. And you know what? You and I, as Christians, must choose who we will live for and who we will please. The Bible says that we cannot serve God and the world. It must be one or the other. The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity against God. Those who try to be cool in the eyes of the world are uncool to God. And those who are cool in the eyes of God are uncool in the eyes of the world. And you cannot mesh the two together. And it's pathetic, and it's laughable, and it is embarrassing when you see Christians trying to be cool in the eyes of the world. Hey, if we're just cool enough, we'll get these people to join our group. We'll get them to become Christians, and we'll do it in a cool way. We don't have to talk about the cross. We don't have to talk about them being a sinner who has no hope of being saved unless they repent and receive Christ. No, no, no. We won't do that. We'll just cool them into the kingdom. Sorry, you look like a fool, and it doesn't work. 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of him," or of them. And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And I wonder, how many times have we told God, "I will do better. Just give me another chance, Lord, and I will not make the same mistake, or I will not commit the same sin." So God gives us another chance, and we fail him again. And that's what happened with Peter. He got a second chance, and he sinned a second time. Thank God for his forgiveness. That's all I can say. Thank God for his long suffering, and thank God that his mercies are new every morning, because we need them. 59. And after about a space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter didn't say he was a Galilean, but Galilean spoke with a definite accent, and that evidently gave him away. And once again, Peter is being attacked for his connection to Christ, and once again, Peter has an opportunity to be faithful to Christ. Attacks from the world are opportunities to be faithful to Christ. 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spoke, the cock crowed. Peter failed again. Peter sinned away his final opportunity in this particular situation. No more chances. There is always forgiveness through Jesus Christ for any Christian who confesses. But we cannot go back and make right the squandered opportunities God has given us. As long as we are alive, we will have more opportunities to serve Jesus, but we cannot retrieve the old ones that have been squandered. And that is one of the tragic consequences of sin. 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." Jesus evidently looked out the window of the palace when he heard the rooster crow, and he caught the eyes of Peter just as he was swearing that he didn't know him. Either that, or it may have happened as Jesus was being taken through the courtyard, but either way, Peter was caught. He was caught with the smoking gun, as it were, caught red-handed. And whenever a Christian sins, and you know what I'm talking about if you're a Christian, you are caught red-handed and you know it. When we sin, we won't see the eyes of Jesus after we have committed sin like Peter, but the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is just as powerful as the eye contact that Jesus made with him. No difference. 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter had committed three terrible sins. He had been wrong, and he knew it. However, consider the contrast between Judas and Peter. Jesus looked at Judas in the garden while he was committing the sin of betrayal. And what did Judas do? He just continued to sin. Jesus looked at Peter while he was committing the sin of denial, and Peter ran off and cried. And there's the difference between a saved person and an unsaved person. A saved person feels terrible after they sin and they repent. An unsaved person sins but doesn't care enough to confess it to God. Confession does not save us. It is an indicator that we are saved. 63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" You know, Jesus was blindfolded. Now, if you watch a football game, you will see that most players in the National Football League do not get injured when they are tackled if they see that they're about to be hit. The human body is an amazing thing. Without thinking, we adjust to threats, and then that lessens the likelihood of injury. Just for example, if somebody throws something at you, you instinctively duck to avoid a direct hit. If your eye is about to receive a poke, you blink or you lift your hand if possible. And when a football player sees that he's about to be hit, his body relaxes and bends in a direction that's going to lessen the impact, which is why most injuries occur when a player is tackled from their blind side. And the soldiers blindfolded Jesus. Consequently, he could not see their punches, and in no way could he possibly adjust to what was coming. Being blindfolded caused Jesus to be injured even more from this beating. Verse 65. And many other things blasphemously spoke they against him. And of course they dared Christ to prove that he was a prophet. On Judgment Day, they will have all the proof they need. Verse 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priest and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Are you the Christ? tell us? And he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Jesus many times asked these religious leaders questions concerning the Word of God and what they taught, which was so often contrary to the Word of God. Many times he asked them questions which brought them face to face with truth, and they knew it. But rather than admitting that they were wrong, they continued to rebel. These people did not want to learn. They hated truth, so Christ will not waste time giving any more truth to them. He's not going to answer their questions, and he's not going to ask them any more questions. Verse 69, Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. He just makes a declaration, whether the rulers believe it or not, whether they like it or not, Jesus is still God's Son, and they will know it on Judgment Day. They will see Jesus on his throne, and they will not be able to run from the truth anymore. 70. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, You say that I am. In other words, you said it. And they said, What need have we of any further witness? For we ourselves have heard from his own mouth. Jesus told them the truth. He did not hold back to save himself. So they now have truth concerning Jesus and who he is. Jesus did his job. Now it's up to them to respond to the truth correctly. What they do with the truth is totally up to them. The truth, what you do with it, is totally up to you. When a speaker, a preacher, speaks the truth, as I am giving out the Word of God, which is true. When I speak the truth, I've done my part. I can do no more. You have to make up your own mind what you're going to do with that truth that I have proclaimed. If I have said something contrary to the Word of God, which I don't believe I have, then that's not truth. But the simple, clear, verse-by-verse teaching of God's Word that I give you every week, that is truth. It's up to you to do with it. What you're going to do with it. Either the correct thing or the incorrect thing. You're either going to receive it or reject it. And you will stand before God Almighty and give an account for what you have done with the truth. You want to be a part of this ministry? That would be great. You can be a part through your prayers and your financial support. My address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Your prayers, your financial support are greatly appreciated. And if you would like to study the Word of God further, you can. At the Scripture Verse by Verse website, you can study the entire Bible online. Just choose which book of the Bible you want to read and study, which chapter, which section within that chapter. Click and listen. Follow along as I teach it verse by verse. The web address is thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. Thank you for spending this time with me. Have a great week. Until next time. Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.